Hey guys, I just want to let you know how this special episode of the Jerry Jonestown Massacre is laid out before it gets started. First up, what you're going to hear is an interview with Sasha and Jules. And about 10 minutes into it, their tour manager and some of the road guys come up and tell them that they need to do a sound check. So they have to take a break and do a sound check. And while they're doing sound check, Matt, RoboTuner, and I kind of clown around, have some fun during their sound check, just kind of BS and talk. Then after their sound check, Sasha comes back and joins us and finishes up the interview. Then we hang out with them, and there's not really much audio there. We weren't really recording. We're just kind of palling around, hanging out. And then we watch the show. There's not really any audio from that, but we did record on our way home. So you get to hear us driving home, our thoughts and opinions of the show and the day. And then we'll close out with a song, and then there's a little bookmark at the end. So, anyway, hope you enjoy the show. And, hey, Becky, why don't you do some of those plugs?
This episode of the Jerry Jonestown Massacre is brought to you by Amazon, Stamps.com, See's Candies, Rouge Designs, and Plastic Object.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Jerry Jonestown Massacre, episode 110. We are broadcasting live this Sunday at, not at our usual temple of I. We are at Gas Monkey Bar and Grill in Dallas. And we have some special guests with us. But first, happy Sunday, Matt.
Oh, happy Sunday. Happy Sunday to KMFDM.
Sitting here. Thanks for coming.
And what we want to do is... we'll do it from radio right to left. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell everyone what you do so they can get used to your voices.
Right to left. Right is there.
Links. Links.
Right and links. That's right.
So? If we spin around, it's a completely different direction.
You've thrown us off there.
Yeah, totally.
So, well, I'm just going to say who I am. I'm called Jules, and I play guitar for KMFM.
And I'm Sasha, and I do some shouting.
Just here and there?
Yeah.
Just some shouting?
Just shouting, like, stuff.
So y'all are here in Dallas. What is this, your sixth or seventh night on the Salvation Tour?
Probably the seventh.
Seventh? Has it all ran together yet? Is it getting blurry?
Well, let's see. We've done Seattle, Vancouver, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Phoenix.
And here we are in Dallas.
Have y'all spent the night last night in El Paso?
Yeah.
Well, we spent the night on the tour bus. We spent a day in El Paso.
Yeah, we had a day off.
Roasting and eating roast chicken.
And riding go-karts at Bobo's fun house place thing.
How awesome is that?
We go there. Pretty much we've had a day off there. The last three times we've toured we just happen to end up
actually
in
we
El
make
Paso.
Sure we have a day off in El Paso.
Pretty much, I was wondering if that was a staple of the tour, yeah. Just making yeah. sure you get to hang out in El Paso.
Well, for various reasons. Some enjoy the go-kart riding and so forth.
You're doing what? I had it written down somewhere. 29 shows in 34 days.
About that, yeah.
That's a whirlwind.
That's actually a pretty light schedule for us. We've got more days off on this tour than we've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. We usually like roll straight through.
That's insane.
We've done like 44 shows in 43 days one time, I believe.
So you had two shows in one day?
Yeah, matinee and regular.
No, six shows in one day and then 4 days off to recover.
You'd need that much. Good gosh.
However you want to look at it, yeah.
And why do you keep moving the notes around?
He's keeping you on your toes, you know.
Are you? Okay. I was looking through your Facebook feed the other day, the KMFDM Facebook feed, and just kind of browsing around. I've been a fan since Sucks.
Sucks.
Yep. And Money. Those were the first two.
1992.
The single and the records I've got. Yeah. And then we rolled into Angst and then Nile. And I've been a fan ever since way back when. And there for a while, Sasha, you were based here in the U.S. You were based in the U.S.?
I was, yeah. I lived here for nearly 20 years.
In Seattle?
Nearly 20 years, yeah.
And
Chicago, New York, Seattle.
You recently moved back.
Yep.
To Germany. And then you posted the other day on Facebook that this tour might be your last U.S. tour.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the amount of red tape kind of increases every time. This time, we got we were told that the IRS is sending out letters to pretty much every promoter that we're, you know, having shows booked with, asking them to withhold 30% of our fucking money. Which is complete bullshit because KMFDM Incorporated is a U.S. corporation since 1991. There are consecutive corporate and individual tax returns with my name on it filed every friggin' year. Why the hell should we be regarded as non-resident aliens all of a sudden? You know, it doesn't matter where I live. I'm a U.S. taxpayer and I'm a U.S. employer and have a employment federal identification number. I have everything it takes. You know, and it fucking pisses me off.
That is quite ridiculous.
And the shit I have to go through every couple of years to get a friggin' work visa, you know, it's just like they treat you like criminals when all you do is pay your taxes and employ U.S. people.
So do you have dual citizenship? Or
no,
just
no,
you
no.
Okay,
I'm
so
German.
You have to get the visas.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, Jules, when you come over, because you're from England.
I am, but I live in Seattle.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and
I have to worry about.
No, I don't have to worry about any of this. I mean, the stress for touring for me is a totally different situation. I do a lot of the pre-roll musically, and Sasha has to deal with all the red tape and paperwork and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I don't have any of those worries. I'm a green card holder, so you know. But yeah. It sucks to sort of see your buddy put in so much work, and then it's like, oh my god, this could. Screw everything, but I think we've got it figured out.
It's not like the good old days of being a garage band and piling a van and just going city to city and seeing what happens.
No, I mean, the logistics are like, you know, I've been working on this tour since November last year, and that's, you know, talking to my agent on a almost daily basis, you know, what do you got, what can we do, how can this be timed, you know, is this doable, getting the bus lined up, everything. Then, you know, the closer it gets to the actual day, you buy plane tickets for people to fly from Europe to the US, from Florida to Seattle, blah, blah, blah. You get your crew together, and then the last minute they throw you a fucking wrench, like, hey, we're gonna keep 30% of your cash flow. You know, I get it back. I get it back next year in June or July, whatever. But how am I gonna, fill the hole in my pockets right now when everybody goes like, I need money for bus fuel, I need money for, you know, to send home, I need money to buy a new pair of drumsticks, whatever. You know, it kind of sucks. Yeah. So I guess what I mean is, it won't be the end of KMFDM touring, but I may just well just not undertake these humongous efforts to get a tour rolling. I'm going to have someone else do it. And that is if they think it's profitable, right?
So is there this much red tape in Europe when you
What's
tour?
That?
Is there this much red tape in Europe?
None whatsoever.
On tour, you can just... No. Is it pretty much free willing? Go yeah. wherever you
want
to do?
There's no borders, you know. Just do what you want.
Just do what you want. Do you think this has to do with the U.S. becoming more of a police state-style society that we're getting to? They're just starting to lock down on everything?
I mean, on one hand, the IRS is, you know, understaffed. On the other hand, they have enough personnel to set up a new division where they monitor supposedly foreign entertainers, athletes, whatever, and take their money. So it's all fucked up. I mean, you know, don't even make me talk about actual immigration. Like, you
oh,
know,
come
you,
on, let's go. Let's
you fly nicely, you know, you sit in a plane, you fly for 10 hours, everything's cool. And then you're being kind of herded like cattle.
Yep.
Just after, you know, after about 2 hours of waiting to speak to some pig-faced asshole, goes like, "And what do you want? And what do you think you want in this country?" You know, it's like, "Fuck, man. Don't get me started."
Though. I'm being a hog here. Since we're sharing a microphone, I'm gonna let you take it a little bit.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess real quick, I wanted to touch on your writing process and just the amount that has changed in the last 31 years. Are you still writing on are you writing on tablets and laptops now? Or are you writing on, you know, pieces of paper like you did back in the day? Or how's it affected you?
Nothing has changed. You know, you need to have an idea for something like a song starter kind of idea. And then regardless of what you have at hand, you just sort of fix the idea somehow,
right?
Sketch it, and send it around.
Yeah,
there's a lot of back and forth, like FTP
sending emails and stuff,
and you know, sort of initial ideas, and like Ilgin sort of say, "Hey, come up with a guitar riff to this bass line and this drum beat," and then I do that and send it back, and then I hear it 3 months later, and I'm like, "Oh, was that what I played? Oh shit!"
Delete.
Hey, what's your go-to device for starting writing? Like, what do you, when you're coming up with a concept or an idea, what do you grab?
Pornhub?
Right there for...
Me too.
I'm a guitarist, so it's always the guitar. And maybe some drum programming to like, go along with that. And then,
Sasha, what about you? Like, today you have, you know, iPhones and iPads and everything at your disposal that have all sorts of emulators on them.
Well, I don't use them to fix ideas. I use them to... communicate and shit. Hold on 1 second. Excuse me for 1 second.
Right. In fact, we might have to cut this short and maybe revisit it after soundcheck. We're running over right now.
Okay.
And we got to get soundcheck going.
That's fine.
Yeah, man.
We can do that after soundcheck. Whatever.
Okay. Cool.
Y'all need to bolt now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We'll press pause.
We can press stop right now. We'll come back. All right. So the guys had to step away for their soundcheck.
Yep.
So we're gonna do a mid-interview review of the interview so far.
The review of the interview that's in halftime, right?
We're in halftime.
Or would you say halftime or first quarter?
We went about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
With them.
I think it was about a little over 8 minutes whenever I pressed stop on the GoPros.
It said 10 minutes on the... So what? How do you think so far?
It's getting a fat F right now.
I think so.
I think you pissed them off immediately.
I probably did.
With the U.S. government.
Well, I want hard-hitting questions. So it can't always be dick and fart jokes.
Well... I think you should have left his mom out of it.
Why did he say something about his mother? Oh, should I say who I am?
Who let this guy in?
RoboTuner.
Yeah.
I'm working the cameras for the interview, the GoPros.
Yes, Red Pants joined us
you
today.
You know what's awesome about this interview, though, is we will probably never be in this part of the Gas Monkey Live venue ever again.
Yeah, we will.
This section
really
isn't roped off, is it?
Oh, when they give the podcast of... The podcast Lifetime Achievement Award, we might get to sit here.
We'll get to hang out up here.
Yeah, for those, and just so I can kind of describe where we are right now, we're at the left part of the venue right here, and it kind of looks like the Black Lodge from Twin Peaks with a bunch of taxidermy mounted on the wall.
There are a bunch of good mounts in here.
Yeah,
that looks like the magic mirror from Snow White on the wall by the bar, the mini bar.
Yeah, we're stage right. There's all these, what do you call these rugs, like authentic rugs?
Yeah,
Persian rugs.
Yeah,
this goat right here is staring right at us.
And there's a ram or ibex right behind us.
Guys, and you're the goat.
Yep.
So what's going on is KMFDM is about to do a sound check. We got interrupted, which, you know, happens. They're going to go do their sound check, and hopefully
they'll come back.
If it was me, I'd bounce.
Stubbs is making me double question my entire interview skills that we've done so far.
I didn't know that you were following my notes, and I kept looking at them and then moving them for me. I didn't know you were looking at them too. So
my phone screwed up and it wouldn't open.
Dustin's like, "God damn it! Stop moving the notes."
Well,
mid interview.
Well, their tour manager came over here to get their attention, and they gave him like a 2-minute signal.
Yeah,
which they're all on stage right now.
So hopefully, after the sound check, they'll come back.
It's not like anything bad.
Yeah, it was cool that their guitarist Jules joined them too, because I know you guys were just expecting to talk to Sasha.
Well, he brought that on.
Yeah, and Sasha said we could have anybody in the band we wanted. In the email chain that I've got here, would you like to read the email chain from
you
top
know what's
to bottom?
Funny?
Just a little bit.
Please continue. I'll let you read it when we're off.
I think it's funny that the tour manager's running the soundboard for soundcheck. I've never seen that done.
What if it's someone you really trust?
Yeah, I guess if you're cutting corners and want to save money, then that's the best route to go.
It'd be like if Red Pants here was our tour manager and also ran our GoPros.
Well, he kind of is.
Yeah. And if I was on tour with the Confounded, I don't know how I'd be able to manage that.
Well, that'll be edited out because we're not going to promote your band.
What about Iowa Twin Seaton?
We don't want to promote that band.
Or a family that rapes together.
All this is going to be edited out.
That band has already been banned.
Banned.
Yes. Yeah.
Band name.
Tipper Gore came over to Matt's house and said, "You cannot use that band name."
The family that rapes together?
I
think we should ask Sasha if that's a good name.
Marcy. There's a local Tool tribute band named Band, BANNED. The bassist.
The thing is, we've got to get to there's two things that I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is the liner. We got to get the liner from Sasha. The other thing is, I'm not leaving here until I ask him about Dirt, if he's a fan of Dirt.
If he comes back out again.
We need to do that, yeah.
And if he's ever been to the German Hill Country.
No, just Dirt.
I want to ask him if he likes Volkswagens, too.
For all I know, they could have been giving me dirty looks because they're like this creep with the camera. What's
he
doing here?
You are kind of creepy there.
I also want to ask them if they have good hamburgers in Hamburg.
Well, it's not like those damn GoPros have auto zoom and I can stand like back there by the
They don't.
Pole.
And that's
I know.
The point. Hey,
that's what I'm saying.
Did you get any shots of the stage while you were
shooting?
Not
video, no.
I also want to know if they have hamburger pizza in Hamburg. If that's an option at the Domino's in Hamburg.
Are the bratwursts actually more brattier?
The bratwursts?
Yeah, absolutely. And if they stopped at the Czech on the way in from... yeah, the check stopped just to say
wrong
hi to their
country.
Buddies. Oh. Can I ask him if he's a fan of Oasis?
Oh, that may bring out Jay-Z.
Yeah. Noel Gallagher came through a couple months ago. Josh got his picture taken with him.
Oh, I saw that.
So it's funny because all the media that's here is just looking at us and jealous because
they're mad.
Sasha came right over to us and sat down and everybody's like,
"Hey boys, what's going on?"
Yeah. So like WFAA Channel 8 News, they're pissed.
They're here? Why would they be covering that?
WNBC is pissed.
The local rags.
Yeah. Do you recognize anybody from the Observer here, Dustin?
A couple.
Adam Curry looks fired up. Like, he wants to punch us in the face.
Since you've started listening to Agenda,
so does Kurt
you've
Loder.
Gotten on a Adam Curry kick.
Every time I talk about podcasts. You know that Adam Curry dude's pretty cool. I like his show.
You know, I used to like it when he read me the top 10 every week.
Top 10 video countdown.
It's funny because I did that to Belvedere yesterday. I was like, "So I don't even hardly listen to the podcast." He's like, "I don't either." I was like, "But I like Adam Curry." And he just looked at me like I was crazy.
All right, we got a sound check going on. We got a drum being played.
Yeah, on the D-drum kit.
D-drum kit.
So, did you hear the news that the Fantasy Ranch, as well as this place,
about the
liquor thing?
No.
Well, apparently the
Fantasy
Gas
Ranch
Monkey
is closed.
That's what I thought. But
it is?
This news story that came out this week about the Gas Monkey, I think they're talking about the bar, not the music venue.
Okay.
They also mentioned Fantasy Ranch. And that gave me tired head because I was like, didn't we play at the Fantasy Ranch and it's changed its name to the Ranch and it's like a decrepit meth looking stage? Like, they didn't even have a stage.
The Fantasy Ranch used to be one of the best strip clubs in DFW.
Yeah. It was the they had the A teams for sure.
Yeah.
John Madden used to go there. Or was that the Legends?
And there were like you would go in there any night and there'd be like 250 chicks naked everywhere.
And they were all high
and
quality.
It was huge. And they were all A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all A team. Well anyway, yeah, so Fantasy Ranch is back in the news and that and apparently it's in Euless or something like that. Like
oh yeah, I know where it is. I know one of the DJs there.
So it's back.
I don't know.
It's also a swinger club after hours.
Nuh-uh.
And we have some close people
that have been going there.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I haven't heard about that from the dude I know that works there.
Is it not a strip club anymore then?
No, it is. It is still a strip club.
It's a bar with an occasional stripping. That's what he describes it as during the week.
You remember that place? It was up. It was in the backside of Hearst. It's behind a cement mixing plant. Back up this dirt road, and there's this giant building.
I was not involved. All those CD clubs that you and Jennifer got into and stuff in the 90s and the early aughts.
Jennifer never got into it.
I wasn't involved in any of that, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just a little bit south of Highway 10.
Yeah, we found
I know one of the guys up DJs there.
We need to go check this out.
Okay, let's do a show there. That sounds great.
We found it one night, screwing around in Mosier Valley. And because we used to always go back up there and do the back roads and back trails and stuff, and like all of a sudden there's this neon sign that says strip club behind this cement mixing plant. We're like, what the hell? So we drive back up there, and sure enough, back up in the woods, it was something straight out of True Detective.
And your whole life pre-Jerry Jonestown Massacre was pretty seedy and very True Detective-esque.
Pre-Jerry Jonestown Massacre, you were a part of like 10 of those years.
Yeah, but I was just the entertainment. You actually had some motives and stuff going.
No, I didn't.
And you don't?
You know what? Did you ever hear that Mosier Valley was a bunch of, like, there was devil worshippers and stuff back there by the dump?
We went back there one time, and there was a giant bonfire and people running around it.
People were dancing around
it?
Yeah. I heard that people did that.
Yeah. And what it turned out to be was it wasn't Satan worshippers. It was just people out there partying, having fun and drinking. Yeah.
That's what I figured.
But everybody's like, those are Satan worshippers back up in there. And they're like, no, it's just people having bonfires and partying.
Do you know Riverside at 360 when everybody used to go four-wheel driving over there? The same thing would happen over there. There would be like fires and people would just be drunk dancing around it and stuff.
And everybody would be like,
oh, those are devil worshippers right there.
Or they're clan members.
Yeah. Now, I did. One time, I did hang out in the woods at Green Oaks and, like, Division, like, way over in Arlington.
With clan members?
They were passing out business cards that was the White Workers Union and stuff, and they were burning crosses. And I was like, you know what? Me and Johnson were hanging out. They were like, you know what? This probably isn't a good place for us to hang out anymore.
Don't try to backtrack. You said, you know what? This place is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I wanted to take Sasha out there and say, hey, let's talk about the neo-Nazi movement in Germany these days. And how it's...
All right.
So that's the drums. If you can't tell,
Those are the drums. There's a chick on the drums. Their drummer's a guy.
You did me... Hey, all right, Thomas.
Yeah.
I will give you $50 right now. We will go to the ATM right now if you just go up, like, get up on the stage. No, 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 that goddamn Tom... sounds like shit.
Don't do it, Thomas. ATMs don't deposit 50s. Or, spit out 50s.
They spit out 20s.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you 60. 60 bucks for you to go up there right now and
I
say,
doubt you even have that much in your checking account right now.
It'll bounce.
Your child support's higher than mine is.
It's not a check.
Wow, why'd you just get brutal here? Thomas just got brutal.
You think that
I'm going to bring child support into this.
wait. So, Dustin, when I put my card in an ATM, you think it just spits it out and says, this is going to bounce? Like you get a statement that says, this is going to bounce. This is going to bounce.
Warning. Or does it just spit your card back up shredded?
Yeah.
Do they do those in machines where your card just comes out shredded?
Yeah.
Or it gives you a receipt and it says, we're all motherfuckers and we're fucking with the shit.
Oh. And the display on the ATM just says, fuck you.
That's a Flight of the Conchords reference.
No. It says, fuck you, you fucking loser, pay your child support.
And little ASCII characters across the screen.
Yeah, and I just...
It's guys that have... It's a picture of a guy with a gun to his head.
Yeah, and I'm at the ATM, I just...
You slump over.
And walk away.
You immediately step away from the ATM, you turn around, and you sit down beside it, and you scribble out a sign that says, kill me, please help.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should remember that for your feature-length motion picture.
Yeah. There'll be a scene. Definitely. I like... How about... Okay. No, you don't go up there and say that the Tom... This Tom sucks or anything like that. Go up there and just start going, nine, 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 nine.
Hey, I got a question.
Nine.
It didn't occur to me till just now. We're sitting on these leather couches. What do you think has happened on these couches?
Yeah.
Probably not much if they bought them new. No, not as much.
This place has been open for like 3 months now.
A little longer. Yeah.
Have you gone into the bathroom yet?
You know how much
yet?
Semen could be on here? In there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you immediately think cocaine?
You can just smell it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
I bet this place doesn't spare any expense on the cleaning stuff.
When you walked in and I was rubbing my finger on the top of the upper deck of the toilet and just rubbing it on my gums, that's what it was. I like the feeling.
Snorting cocaine on a public toilet.
Tasting. Hey, don't knock it until you try it.
Weren't you the one that said that? Or was it you,
what,
Dustin?
That I did a rail off an upper deck?
Yeah, someone was fucking around saying that.
No, I sure did.
Off of what?
You remember that toilet? You know that Ricochets?
Oh, yeah.
This is the dark period of Stubbs, of course. But
6 months ago.
There was a time where me and a female went to the bathroom.
Oh,
back
that was
there
4 months ago.
And did a rail off the upper deck of the toilet at Ricochet's.
Was that the same time that you fucked her on the AC unit that was broken?
Okay. You've got me confused with the seediness of Dustin.
Just because
in his 90s.
Just because I know where things are located in the DFW area doesn't mean I'm seedy.
Pull up a map and have all the little fucking just
of where Jennifer and Dustin had sessions and like seances and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these weird pyramids made out of like tree tops. Branches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they tied up a girl to an oak tree out in the middle of a field and killed
little
her.
Stick figures.
Oh, God.
Like the Blair Witch Project.
Painted weird figures on her.
I like this guy that's running the lights or sound over here. Just looked over here like, what the fuck is going on over here?
The guy's running the board keep looking at us going, what are y'all talking about?
Like, I have a feeling that the only reason that we have not been kicked out is because of Sasha. Like, everybody here is like, what are these losers doing over here?
Actually,
nobody's looking at us like caring about
anybody that
over
looks
here.
Over here. I just ducked down behind the wall.
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid they're going to kick us out.
So yeah, when Dale Hansen was looking over here a while ago, I was like, I'm out. I was ducking. He was browbeating us hard. He's definitely jealous that we got the KMFDM.
As
interview.
He was plugging Clarice Tinsley.
I think Bobby Wygant's here too.
What do you mean? Like a plugging as in like a promo for a news report that she had coming up with Gloria Campos or something? Or
he was putting his Yippie Bob in her clam wallet.
I don't know what that means. Number one, what's a Yippie Bob? Number two, what's a clam wallet? And do you want to call the new band Clam Wallet?
It's a wallet that's shaped like a clam. I think you could get out of tourist stops of like places on the coast, like South Padre Island, and
you could get it in tourist shops,
yeah,
like
and Myrtle
shops?
Beach. Yeah,
9 times out of 10, if you're wearing a seashell necklace, you also have a clam wallet.
So can you get clam wallets at the souvenir department at Walmart or something, or have they gone mainstream yet, or is it still kind of?
Maybe if it's in a coastal city, you will.
At the coastal Walmart?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask next time about the clam wallet section.
Or a squish mitten.
Next time. In fact, I might be taking a trip down to the Gulf pretty soon with Britt. And the first thing I'm going to do is go to a souvenir shop and ask if they have clam wallets. All right. So sound check's getting a little bit more serious now. So
yeah.
We've got
some issues.
Through?
They keep having issues during soundcheck, so yeah, that's why it's soundcheck. I think we're being drowned out, guys.
I don't know. We can fight through this, I bet.
I think this concert's going to be loud.
We can fight through
too.
They're still seeing if the drummer can hear over the samples.
So you're listening to live, continuous JJTM coverage of the KMFDM soundcheck.
Yeah. Hey, man, I need to tell him to turn it down because we're talking about clam wallets over here.
Guys, we're trying to do a podcast. I don't know if that's a...
We're trying to do a segment about clam wallets.
Fish wrinkles.
Hey, if the noise really bothers you guys this bad, we can always take it into the unisex restroom over there.
Oh, yeah. We're doing a podcast in a unisex bathroom. Everybody would really look at us then.
Well, let's take a break here. They're getting pretty loud, and I can't hear the clam wallet talk anymore.
This is one of my favorite songs off Nile.
Mine too. Is this off their new album?
This off Nile.
Who talks clam wallets on a Sunday?
Uh-oh. All right, here we go. We're getting ready. We're going to roll? All right.
We got
and there's one Sasha. It's going to get loud. Right, Sasha just pulled out the megaphone for those waiting at home. He just got the megaphone going.
And he's going to place it over here. It's like, yeah, those three fucks out over there, get the fuck out.
Those three.
What would be funny if somehow we were getting input into their sound, like their wireless system, and they're just hearing us talk about clam.
That would suck.
That's why that dude with the mohawk keeps looking over here, because we're probably interfering with their wireless system, and they're just sitting there getting beat down with clam wallet talk.
Clam wallet
and they can't figure it out. They're like twisting the knobs, going, "What the fuck is going on here? Who are these guys? And what the fuck is a clam wallet?"
You know what the title of the show is going to be?
Clam Wallet.
Clam Wallets with KMFDM.
The CD Clam Wallets.
Insignificant.
Clam Wallet with a K.
Clam.
Oh, here we go.
I have pictures.
So, does that intimidate you at all? Because I think it does me a little bit.
It intimidates you?
Hearing her sound check, yeah.
Why?
Why?
You've heard 1,000 sound checks. Why would that? What makes you nervous about her sound checking?
Well, because, no. Not her sound checking, but just her voice. No, it's, like, seriously intimidating me. Like, that's a chick that could, like, seriously throw down with somebody.
Oh, she's staring over here. I think we better put the microphones down because we are actually making her nervous. Like, she's asking Sasha, what are we doing? So. All right, man. We'll let him sound check in peace.
What do you think of my proposal yesterday? Of us doing one sporting event for Fox Sports Southwest.
I think that's a great idea.
You do?
Now, Dale Hansen over there, I don't think he's into it.
I think we're about to get our ears blown off.
Yeah, and she doesn't look comfortable with us talking to a mic and having headphones on, so I think we should cut off now.
Let's sit him down.
Okay.
We'll be back. So, sound check wrapped up. Back here with Sasha.
Check.
Sounds good, too.
Sounds
still
good
going
there.
On, apparently. Check.
Sounds
check,
good.
Check.
So, what,
check.
check, 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 check.
Before you were pulled away, we were talking about gear. Like, when you're riding, when you're coming up with new stuff, do you have something you go to just straight away to start pounding away on?
What do you mean, like...
Like, you know, there's so many... There's, you've got the iPhone.
Hello, check. The one, two. One, two.
All
right. Hey, Josh, we're trying to conduct an interview here. Do you need this?
Life in the KMFDM camp.
Bigger, bigger, megaphone. Megaphone.
This is live, right?
Yep. Oh, no, we're not going out anywhere. No. We're just recording.
Yeah, yeah, we'll take it home.
We'll take it home and edit it.
We cut it up.
Okay, so
this is not fun with it. Yeah, yeah, so we just roll with it.
All right.
Okay. All right, so.
Let's just try.
Technology, we've got, you know, an iPhone, iPad. They have all sorts of crazy apps you can quickly start composing something on. Is there a piece of gear you go to when you're coming up with ideas or writing?
My head, mostly. I mean, it's like I say, I don't have an iPhone. I got a little Nokia shit piece from 2002. I have an iPad to basically watch movies with my daughter.
Okay.
You know, I find it very cumbersome because, you know, as I'm getting older, my vision isn't so good, so I have to dig out my reading glasses. You know, where when I step in front of say a Korg MS-20, I just have the knobs. I know the thing. I see it. It works, you know. I'm a very tactile person and not very good with small things on small screens.
I understand.
Mini keyboards with mini cables and plugs, yeah. You know. I tried like this or that kind of music app on the iPad, but I find it rather unsatisfactory because it's just cumbersome.
Yeah. So you mentioned you have a daughter. Is she?
Yeah.
She lives in she's in Hamburg now.
Yeah,
she lives on the road with you.
Oh, she's with us here.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
She's probably at the ice skating rink right now.
Oh yeah,
or
nice.
Somewhere.
Does she always go on the road with you?
Yeah, yeah. She's been with us since she was born.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Yeah. How old is she? If
you don't she's 7 and a half now.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Is she starting to dig what dad does?
She loves everything. I mean, you know, everybody's her friend.
Yeah.
She knows these guys since. You know, since she can remember.
They're like family.
Yeah. She learned how to walk on a moving tour bus.
Yeah.
Just going from one bench to the other.
Well, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
That can be hard for me.
Well, you know, I was very concerned about it because I didn't think like kids should be exposed to life on the road. But I don't have anyone that I can leave her with.
Yeah.
Besides that, I wouldn't want to be without her for like 6 weeks. Or
Driving
not
nuts.
Even for like 2 days, you know, that's what I mean. So, yeah, we worked around. We for some time, we got two tour buses. One was the quiet one with just a few people on it. Back lounge was converted into some kiddie room, you know, with a big safe bed.
That's awesome.
And, now that she's older, we don't need that anymore. She sleeps in her own bunk, and, you know, she's totally used to life on the road.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's like.
So what does she think about this heat? Is she like, I want to go back home now?
No, she loves it. This is her summer vacation. I mean,
yeah.
I said to her, what should we do? You know, the only time really that we can do it conveniently would be during your vacation.
Yeah.
It's like, let's do it.
Does she have a chance to soak in like local attractions and
every day,
culture
stuff? Yeah, she's with we have a good friend that is her nanny.
Uh-huh.
And the nanny has a 12-year-old daughter, so those two are like the team already.
Uh-huh.
And every day there's a plan. They go to the zoo or, like I said, the ice skating rink today. And
that's awesome.
Always a program, and
yeah,
you know, a lot revolves
that's pretty rad.
Around her schedule. So, you know, I make a lot of free time, hang out on the bus with her.
Yeah,
that's
we
way
talk
cool.
German, so she doesn't lose her German. You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Is she bilingual though? Is she
yeah,
also
totally.
Knows English?
Yeah, the first language she spoke was English because her mom Lucia speaks English with her, and I tried the German speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But I just sort of, you know, fell on deaf ears, just like blank stare. Mama, what's the guy saying? And as soon as she hit kindergarten, within a week, she was on, like, German. Bah.
That's, man, to see the evolution of you guys, I had a question about maybe what you, Sasha, would tell 21-year-old Sasha back in the day? What advice would you give yourself back in the day?
Myself, huh?
Right.
Yeah, I often think about that. I would probably just say, you know, just cool it a bit more. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Right.
Don't do so many drugs at a time.
spread it out.
Spread it out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, slow down a bit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Slow down. Yeah. I mean, I'm happier now than I was when I was 21, I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like life was kind of, it seemed like it could end at every given moment.
Right.
Had you asked me then if I would ever turn or live to see my 28th birthday, I would probably said no.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I'm twice that age, so fuck it.
Right. Well, you look great. Another question I got kind of from the same, as far as, like, what the difference is between back in the day and now is you have social media everywhere. How has that affected KMFDM and the way you interact with the fans of your band?
Well, I'm kind of a late arrival at all the social media stuff. That has to do with the way that the whole KMFDM, you know, headquarters was run. I had a couple of friends that were kind enough to really run the operation very smoothly out of Houston, Texas for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just became a thing where, you know, the turnaround, the returns weren't, like, working out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really organize everything myself and restart the thing. And that's when I jumped on the Facebook kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like myself running it brought the likes or whatever the measures are that you count that with. Brought it up from like 3,000 to over 100,000 in just like about 3 months, you know.
Yeah.
That's which cool. Goes to show that, you know, people want to, you know, they don't want to talk to someone that blurts out kind of news or you know, tidbits of information, but they want to
see the
real deal, yeah. Kind of. Yeah, and that works out good, yeah.
95% of the time, it's a publicist that's running, you know, the social media accounts. So it is cool being able to interact with.
Yeah, I'm seeing it, especially on this tour. We got a bunch of, you know, people that are posting, like the guys from TuneSpeak, they're holding these contests.
Right.
And some of the venues have.
Holy, that just happened.
Fuck.
I think something.
God. Someone just set a tactical nuclear bomb off in the music venue.
Hairs on my arms are standing straight.
That affected me. Like.
Yeah. Speaking of the drugs.
Wow. Holy shit.
I know you guys are loud, but good grief.
That's not even us. I don't know anyone there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Chant. All right.
Okay. Anyway, all right. So
I had a question about the music. What is the funnest song right now for KMFDM for you to do? What is the funnest KMFDM
right now on
song
tour
to do right now on this tour?
I don't know. I like them all, kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a hard time coming down with the set list because we wanted to reincorporate some of the older stuff. And having 200 plus songs to choose from is kind of hard. I don't know. I mean, I like them all, really.
Yeah. Well, you got, it looks like you're doing 23 tunes on your set list on a regular
That's
basis
amazing.
This tour.
There's about over 20 songs, yeah.
That's something. A good night.
Do you want to take a break at some point, like in the middle of the set, and like, hey, I need to get some water?
Well, there's this one song, Animal Out, where I really like to smoke a cigarette. That's about halfway in the set.
Uh-huh.
And some venues let me, some go like, no, you can't do it, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of split up nicely between the songs that Lucia is kind of leading on, mm-hmm. and, you know, I get to kick back a little bit. And it works out good. I mean, you know, I love every moment of it.
Yeah.
You've as we said earlier, last year was your 30th anniversary. You guys have, in 30 years, what, 19 albums?
Something like that.
And you've been with this band since 2003, this makeup?
With this outfit, we're touring since 2002.
2002?
Yeah, since Attack.
Is there a certain era of KMFDM that you love or you look back on and like, man, that was my favorite era. Those were the good times. Or
in KMFDM.
Or is it now? Are you?
No,
still
it's now. I mean, you know, the. I mean, honestly, like there was a time where things were really great. It was like when Ministry had invited us to open for them in 89, 90. And I felt like, you know, this is really exciting. There's a lot of shit happening here that's just going to be really good. And basically after the Ministry tour, I just returned to Hamburg, sold my shit, and moved to Chicago, you know. And that was really exciting. And then it just happened over the next 4 or 5 years between 91 maybe and 96 that the atmosphere in the band like got really sour to the point that, you know, I had my own tour bus because I couldn't stand the other guys. They couldn't stand me. And, you know, we blew a shitload of money just on basically separating ourselves from one another. And that wasn't good. And I thought the material that we recorded really suffered from it, too. And then at some point I was just like, guys, look, we must call it quits. It doesn't work like that, you know. I can't stand to be around you. You can't stand to be around me. So fuck it, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy with the result of, like, the hiatus. And then meeting Jules and Andy and Steve, which were basically the band for Pig. And they all moved out to Seattle at the time. And we had some really good years together. Barbecuing basically every day, you know.
Awesome. Where it became more of a brotherhood than a band.
Yeah, pretty much.
A family.
And then, you know, I decided, and Lucia decided to move to Germany, so now it's like a new dynamic. We don't get to see everyone every day, you know. So we make the most of the time we have and really sort of shoot the shit and hang out, and it's very good.
That's really cool.
Sasha, in this country, in the U.S., you guys are pretty much, actually internationally, you guys are kind of considered one of the forefathers of industrial music. How does that make you feel when you hear that?
Well, it's not really true. I mean, industrial music is not what we do. Industrial music has a time in history. Mm-hmm. I would say it's Robin Grissel and, mm-hmm. you know, Einstürz and Neubau, and that's industrial music. But regardless of that, I mean, the term industrial guitars, electronic stuff, we weren't really the inventors of it. I mean, Ministry was doing it, Skinny Puppy was doing it to some degree. You know, we just came from Germany and we brought a different twist to it, really. Interestingly enough, I just realized the other day that we were the only German band signed by Wax Trax ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
There's a lot of Belgian bands, a couple of British.
But no German.
Yeah?
But, yeah one Italian band, I guess. Pankow.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
Never thought about that.
Well, now you know.
That is crazy.
So what's really funny, back to the IRS kind of story. the letters that were sent out, they didn't bear our actual names, but our stage names. Like, not like Andrew John Selway, as he would be known to the government, but Andy and Stiz, you know. So...
Do they have?
So I
any
figured they went. They just went to our Facebook page and they read, you know, hometown, Mega City One, Antarctica, and a woman must have probably thought, "God damn, that's not American." Send them these letters, you know.
Yeah.
Well, do they have any legal ground then? If they just
no, none whatsoever. None whatsoever.
Talking about, you kind of hit on it there for a minute, the dark period, and then when the band kind of broke up, and then. Out of nowhere comes MDFMK.
Right.
And you released one album under that moniker. Any of those songs going to see the day live again, maybe in the set list? Or?
Well, the whole MDFMK thing was kind of like an idea that I had with Tim Skold.
Uh-huh.
He had come into the fold like in around 2007. No, sorry, 1997. 1997, and him and I just really kind of hit it off. We seemed to have a good way to work together, and potentially he was even like maybe the accelerator of this kind of split that happened, because all of a sudden I realized, hey, there's one guy I really like to work with, but all the other guys hate him, and they hate me, so And I started KMFDM, so yeah, of course I take KMFDM wherever I want it, right? I mean, everybody got paid all the time. Everybody just came to me, you know, if you want me to record for you, if you want me to tour for you, pay me. I was always the guy that shelled out the money, took all the risk. So I didn't see any reason to, you know, not take that name with me. And for times, just for gaining time, so to speak, to do something that is not KMFDM, I just reversed the name and signed with a major, as I said I would never do. And that financed my divorce. That was very nice. Thank you, EMI Music. Thank you, Universal.
And for the legal help.
Divorce sponsored by EMI Universal.
Yeah. And, you know, and then Tim went on, got this offer to be with Marilyn Manson, uh-huh. which for him was, you know, a logical continuation on his way to stardom. Something that he was always quite fond of or interested in, rather, which doesn't really matter to me at all. I mean, I'm like, I don't give a shit, you know. I would hate to be famous. I would hate to be recognized in the street. So, yeah, everybody went their own ways. And then I hooked up with the boys from England, and we restarted KMFDM. And it was a great decision.
But
really
you,
good.
You and Tim still collaborate.
We did
it.
We did
right?
an album like about, well, 2008, yeah. 7 years ago. But I haven't really heard lately from him. I don't know what he's up to.
Oh, okay.
He seems to have kind of vanished a little bit. I don't know. But that's cool, you know. I mean, you know how it is. Like when you have really good friends, you don't have to see them for 20 years. You just sort of reconnect in an instant. Snap,
bam.
Right there.
Well, you go back to that brotherhood family thing. You just... You know, when you see someone.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Well, this has been great. We really appreciate your time today. Are we?
My pleasure. Absolutely.
There was one more question I did have, real quick, before we run off. The artwork.
Yeah.
And hooking up with Brute, Aiden Hodges. How did that come about? Because he's been there since...
Yeah, that's a good story,
one,
actually.
Album one, and there's not a whole lot known about Brute. He's put out books and publications here. He's like most artists. He does his thing. And
I got to get a little more long-winded to really make the story good, right?
Okay.
So it was like this. I was standing in a bar in Germany talking to a guy that came from East Germany, and he was recognizable by his accent. So, you know, I was just talking to him to hear him speak because it's a funny accent. It's like kind of funny.
It's like Texans going to California.
And he was like, yeah, I'm looking for bands, you know. I'm looking for bands that make unusual music. I'm like, what? So you have a label or something? He's like, yeah, I have a label. I'm like, well, I have unusual music. And I give him a cassette that we had just recorded that day. And so we talked over the next couple of days. And he said, okay, you know, I can facilitate your stuff to be made into a vinyl album. I was like, this is great. It's pretty awesome. And who's going to pay for it? He said, I'll pay for it. It's like, good, very good. So we pressed this album, had 1,000 copies in the trunk of my car, and I drove from record store to record store in Hamburg. It's like, hey, do you guys want to buy a couple of copies of this record? And people were like, nah, not really. So, you know, I tried to give some away, but I still had about 980 copies left. And then I drove to England, and I looked in the phone book, record labels, and I went to Mute, I went to 4AD, I went to Beggar's Banquet, you name them. I spoke to a lot of receptionists, and I handed over a lot of records to be given to people like Daniel Miller from Mute or whatever. So, back in Hamburg, maybe 3-4 weeks later, I get a postcard from England. Some guy says, do you have a telephone number? So I'm like, yes, I have a telephone number. I wrote him a postcard back. Very odd. So then, out of the blue, this guy phones me. I barely understand a word he's saying because he speaks with this really thick Liverpool accent. But it turns out he has a record label. He was in London. He was talking to someone at Mute. And on his way out, he saw the receptionist dump a record into the dumpster. And he picked it up, looked at it, and it was the KMFDM record. He liked it. He wanted to re-release it for the UK, and he wanted to do different artwork on it. So we hooked up back in London, and there was Aiden. So I met Aiden. He had this piece of artwork, and I was like, this looks fucking great. You know, let's do it. So not only did the guy facilitate meeting and hooking up with Aiden, but he then licensed the record to Wax Trax. And then about a year later, I got a phone call from Wax Wax in Chicago asking if we wanted to open for ministry. I'm like, what? Like, what? A tour? Like, we go on tour in America? How? Who would pay for it? It's like, they were like, well, you got to figure that out, you know? So, first I went and bought a ministry record, and it was with Sympathy. I was like, this is a really shit band. But hey, you know, hey, man, I mean, we can go on tour in America. That could be really cool. So I went to my bank and I talked to my bank manager and I said, look, I just got this offer to tour in America, but I need money to buy plane tickets. And he said, you know, surprisingly, he said, okay, I'll give you 10,000 or whatever Deutschmarks for the duration of 3 months, but you have to pay me back. You have to pay interest on it. It's like, great. I bought tickets. We arrived in Chicago. It was dead of winter, freezing fucking cold. First rehearsal we go to, there's ministry. Two drum kits, five guitarists, you know. It's like, all right, this turns out pretty good. Then I talked to the guys at Wax Trax, and they were like, hey, we want to sign KMFDM. And I was like, sign KMFDM? Haven't even heard us yet. Like, oh, yeah, we've sold like about 80,000 copies of these two albums that we have licensed. You know, like, 80,000 copies? Oh, man, there must be some royalties for that. And they're like, yeah. We opened a bank account for you. You know, I'm like, can I have $500? They're like, there's $79,000 right there for you. What the fuck? I'm staying here, man. So, yeah, that was the story. I mean, so you know, without a shitload of luck and pure coincidence and just really good juju happening somehow, we wouldn't be sitting here talking. You know, I would be in Hamburg, probably dead or something. But like dental assistant or some shit.
Isn't that how the music industry goes, though? I mean,
yeah.
So much luck plays into it.
Totally. Tons of luck.
Well, we appreciate you hanging out with us.
Yeah, it was good fun.
And we look forward to seeing you tonight.
Yeah. You're obviously on the list. That's all taken care of.
I don't think so. I don't know what she took care of with you.
Well, who hooked us up?
Our publicist, Violet Sparks.
Oh, she emailed me, yeah.
Yeah,
of course,
yeah. And then I emailed you this morning. So
give me your names and we'll take it.
Okay. Cool. We can do that. Okay. We will stop this here.
Hi, Dustin.
Hey, Dustin.
Hey, Matt.
Happy Monday.
Hey, Matt.
Matt Thomas.
Well, it is, yeah, because it is now midnight. Global One.
Happy Monday, Matt Stubbs.
So, can we say this is Faith No More Day?
Gracious Monday.
We can officially say
we have carried over KMFDM Day into
Faith No More Day.
Faith No More Day. Pretty magical, huh?
Very.
Very.
Very. As magical as a clam wallet.
It's been a magical day.
It has.
A magical clam wallet style day. Hey, if you want to put headphones in, you can grab a pair of headphones if it'll help you hear better.
And a squishy mitten kind of day, too?
Very squishy mitten. Very.
Dig for some headphones back here. Okay. So while he's doing that, can you cook ham wallets?
I don't know if we can cook ham wallets or not.
Yeah, ham wallets won't work for everybody, like Muslims, for example.
Wow! We're there!
Five.
All right!
Four. Three, two,
and
one.
Start back over.
So, how was that KMFDM show?
Yeah, that was good.
It was very intense.
Are we going to, are we going to stay positive, or are we going to?
I am being positive.
The dolls.
Electric.
Oh, shit.
Wait.
Oh, we're turning up in the headphone.
Oh, that's not the headphone jet?
Okay. No.
Where is it?
Other side.
Oh, okay.
You'll see it.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Got it. Got it, Chio.
So,
okay.
Let's talk about this. Today was fun. You realize we've spent 10 hours at Gas Monkey.
Yeah.
Live.
Yep.
Or Gas Monkey Bar and Grill. 10 hours.
And we do it for the listener.
We do it for the listener. Like, we do this all for you.
Yeah.
Really just for us, because we had fun today.
I played Mortal Kombat one time on my phone.
It did not feel like we were there for 10 hours.
No, it didn't. Not at all.
And we got there, had to sit around, wait a little bit, which no big deal.
Yep.
Sasha was asleep. And then we set up, we hung out, we got to watch them play around. We screwed with some of the guys that worked there.
Well, tell them why Sasha was asleep about the big day that they had out in El Paso.
Didn't they do that?
Apparently it's tradition.
They did that in the interview, didn't they? They talked about that. Barbecue and go-karts.
Yeah, and that's like their stop that they do. Like,
whoa, what the fuck?
Whoa,
that's not a yield
and,
or nothing.
JJTM.
That guy nearly accident. Died.
Fuck.
Could have. At least gotten in an accident.
What? How come every time we're driving home that from a show, we witness that? Especially in Dallas.
Like, no one knows how to drive. Okay, anyway.
Maybe they just came for the Gas Monkey, too.
They're probably drunk.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assumption.
Speaking of,
oh, shit.
Did you see the definition of drunk Mexican that was right in front of us with the Texas Ranger hat on?
I did.
I saw that guy, too.
Did you see the definition of domestic violence happening in front of us?
I did.
Yeah.
I saw a woman get punched in the titty.
Punched in the titty.
Giant titty. Like, he flattened it and then slammed her against the wall.
And she had a Steadfast shirt on.
She did have a Steadfast shirt on.
Not the Steadfast that you are not and I are.
Well, you don't have to talk about that.
Hey, you know, that... It could have been.
You never know. Someone could have made merch that we didn't know about.
Unauthorized merch.
Yeah, because y'all never used that font, ever.
Yeah. No.
That was douche knuckle font.
Affliction font.
It was a Steadfast Affliction shirt. All right, so the show went...
Or Ed Hardy.
Like this. We knew there was going to be sound problems. We placed bets on there being sound problems.
But not as bad as it first
not
started
out. Not like what we thought. The first song was completely ridiculous, Money. Then, one of my favorite songs, Light, if not my absolute favorite song, was second, and it was still jacked up.
Wait. Not because of the band, though.
No. It was the sound guy, because the band was on.
Yeah, it was the mix. Sound mix.
I think what happened was, something happened right before they went on, and the guy lost his whole mix from the sound check.
Because they had a false start.
Something they couldn't figure it out, and then the sound guy went back there, said go too early, and then he was in panic mode. Which,
first off, I don't think your tour manager should also be your sound guy. And when you're in a venue like that, you should let them do your sound.
Yeah, exactly.
Just worry about lights and swing set contraptions.
What threw me the most about the first song, right whenever all the instruments kicked in, all he could hear was the fucking digital samples, and it was like way blazingly louder than everything else. Could you hear the guitar, drums, or vocals? But by the end of the song, they finally got it all right. So
you're You're right, Thomas. You're right. You're always right, Thomas.
That's just my take. What did you guys think?
No, you were. That's right.
Pretty much the guy was.
It was pretty ridiculous.
He was juggling for the first, I would say, four songs.
Man, and he looked panicked because where our little treehouse was in the VIP area.
Yep. AKA the Black Lodge.
All three of us can pull out the brag badge because we were in the VIP area.
Well, the thing that I found out later, though, is we didn't even use it to its fullest extent.
I know, because we could have gotten on stage.
Yes.
You didn't use... Oh, yeah.
I didn't find that out till about 17 songs into the KMFDM set. I finally asked somebody, what's this blue thing
Where
do?
Can we go?
What all do we get access to?
The apartment upstairs?
Yeah.
Shit, that would have been awesome.
So...
They weren't going to use it, though. They use their bus. That's what Sasha said.
I like how Sasha told us before the show that...
I don't sing. That's for her. She sings. I just make a bunch of noises.
I don't think he had that accent.
Well, yeah, he had the German accent. Here's what's going to happen. Our fans are going to be disappointed because I didn't get to ask my resurgence question.
You didn't talk about the resurgence, but off microphone, once we stop recording, you hit... The dirt conversation.
I did hit the dirt.
He had no idea what you were talking about. And he said he only watches football, which meant soccer.
Which, aren't they both from Hamburg?
Which brought up...
Isn't Dirk from Hamburg?
Outside of Hamburg, I think.
Well, then, I also missed my hamburger question. I didn't ask the hamburger question. If they make good hamburgers in Hamburg.
But soccer talk led to EPL talk... Because he's got a bunch of Brits in his band, which led to World War II talk, which launched into Sasha dropping World War II bombs on us. And we're like, oh,
we
can talk about this now?
Which is funny because
it was
a standing joke that he had with the guitarist who is a Liverpool, did he say Liverpool guy or? I don't know.
Something about him.
But anyway, he's talking about how they jokingly refer to World War II.
And then when Germany wins the World Cup,
it's like Germany won.
The guitarist goes, first World War II, now this?
Yeah. Which is genius by the guitarist.
Pretty genius.
So, I started thinking after he said that, would our grandparents approve of us going to that show?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
You sure? My grandfather's no longer here. I don't know.
I have a permission slip.
Oh, you got permission?
I got permission. Which, speaking of old folks that are no longer here with us, and young folks, it seems that we've carried on a JJTM tradition tonight of going to a concert and someone dying while we're at the concert.
Like a celebrity?
A celebrity.
Yes, specifically celebrity.
Which was Whitney Houston's daughter.
She passed.
Bobby Christina Brown. Yep.
Bobby Christina Brown finally died.
Why would you say finally?
Well, she's been in coma for like six months.
Okay, yeah. So you were in the Deadpool or something on her or something? And so no, now she finally died?
I lost that like 5 months ago.
She'd been on my list.
Is it too early?
No.
Obviously not for us.
No. Not if you commit suicide, it's not. Suicide's fully open.
She didn't... Oh, is that what they're saying?
Well, she pilled herself, and she tried to kill herself in the same way her mom did, and they recovered her, but she was still in a coma.
So they cleared the boyfriend?
That's what I've heard.
Well, I didn't know that you were tight with the Brown camp.
I don't read Us Weekly that much. Or People.
What does this have to do with KMFDM?
It doesn't. No, it was just the tradition of a celebrity dying while we're at a show. Like, we look down at our phone, and it's like, oh, look, someone did. So...
Tomorrow night, look out.
Yeah, celebrities, watch out. You're on watch.
You gotta try and get her.
There's a celebrity death warning when we go to Faith No More in, I don't know, what is it? We're going in 16 hours.
Right. 16 hours. So, the show.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know... That number one, I didn't know that Sasha's wife was in the band.
Was
the other singer, and her name escapes me at this point.
Lucia.
But her body never will escape me. That's cool. We're in the circle of trust. We're in the SUV of trust,
tree.
Right?
The trust tree.
But,
SUV of trust.
The Xterra of trust.
Yeah, the Xterra of trust.
I had no idea she was as smoking as she is.
She's... Every time I've seen her, she's been gorgeous.
And the way she dances and...
Oh! I got a picture of her wrapped around me that's so weird. And, like, I've looked at the picture... I looked at the picture today when I was digging out the old pictures of when me and John Lewis hung out with him. Yeah, it's a picture of her, like, wrapped around me, and it
had, like, did you pop me wood? Weird.
Yeah. She's in this, one of them, she's in a latex cat suit, and the other one, she's just hanging out
and
backstage.
And she's American. She's from America.
Yeah, she's from New York.
New York. New York.
Yep.
Yeah. Very cute woman.
Extremely cute.
Speaking of women in latex condoms, why don't you guys tell them who we saw today?
Also? What the fuck are you talking
in
about?
In the audience, who I took pictures of?
Latex condoms?
No, costumes, damn it. I didn't say
you
condoms.
You said condoms.
No,
he costumes. Said condoms, didn't he? I don't know. What in the good goddamn are you talking about?
The people, the guy dressed up as Batman and his girlfriend is Catwoman.
Okay, oh. You just told him. Wow, that's a long way around to get to that. Well, but yeah, Batman was there. Which I told security, hey, take the night off, guys. Batman's here.
This guy just rode up on my ass. It would have been funny if he just rear-ended me while
during
we're driving.
A podcast?
Yeah. Because I'm doing the speed limit, and he flew up on my ass, and then he was fighting with that other car.
So, there was one of my favorite songs, Brainwash. Brainwash was awesome. And then the,
oh, it's a fucking chink chick.
Whoa. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Brainwash. That was one of my favorite songs that they did. There was another one. The encore that they did, not, like, from beginning to end, was awesome.
They rolled through, they did, Adios and Godlike were the last two songs. I can't remember what the one was before it. It was a newer song.
So, I had my eye out on one dude the whole night.
That you were gonna hit on?
Yes. No.
Invite back to the house?
For no.
For some hot chocolate and tea?
No.
And Bill Cosby rape kit?
I think this man had a mass murder planned.
Oh, the guy standing next to the guy you were really watching who made us start calculating exits.
Yes. Yeah. I was looking at exit routes and where I would take cover. So there's a lot of creeps at a KMFDM show.
Well, that's the industrial crowd because you always see boots up to mid-calf.
Yeah.
Military boots.
And fishnets
right.
For the females.
And a lot of belt buckles all over the place.
A lot of spikes, a lot of metal.
You know how you know how when you go to a sword show, you know you're going to see a lot of denim?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know you're going to see a lot of belt buckles at a KMFDM show.
Latex. You're going to see a lot of latex.
Yeah. And belt buckles.
I think there's more latex there than there was at Skinny Puppy.
Yeah. So, anyway, that guy made me very nervous.
Whoa.
But turns out he was harmless.
He was a good guy.
I thought he was Columbine Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, my God. God.
Lord. You guys remember seeing that, like, chick that was wearing those really skinny jeans and they were baggy on her? Like, right before we went in, she had green hair. Okay, maybe not.
Yeah, what happened to her?
Shit, I don't know.
You were supposed to keep track of her. I thought you put a homing dart on her.
She probably blew away in the wind.
That chick looked like she was, like, flew in from Ethiopia and Susan Summers hadn't been feeding her. And she came to a KMFDM show straight from the plane. That girl, I haven't seen a girl that skinny in a long time. There was definite anorexia and throwing up going on in that.
She probably did some drugs. I'd say she probably test negative. Or, no, wait. Positive?
It's really scary. Positive for drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about her?
I don't know.
Because you guys are talking about the kind of people that are in the crowd.
I brought her up. Then there were a lot of very... large people there?
Yeah.
Which was weird. Like, large and gothed out and in latex and...
Yeah.
Outfits like... I don't think like, there were a couple. I don't think they'd fit in this Xterra.
How are they going to get out? Like, this is Texas, and it was a good 105 degrees today.
Yeah.
Those fat people have to take that stuff off at some point.
How do you?
What kind of mess is that?
How do you get into some of that stuff when you're that big? I really don't know.
They probably have help.
With this craft beer craze, I am, What?
Oh. Go ahead.
Stop fucking with the ratings.
I was trying to lay out.
Oh, you were? Oh, I'm sorry.
Never mind. I had a joke worked up, but it had to do with craft beer, me drinking it, and on the way to that size. I have gained a little bit of poundage since craft beer has gone wide open here.
I like how our first question when they gave us these bracelets to get where we were going.
How much do we get to drink?
How much off? Like, is there a discount on the alcohol?
Free drinks. Where
free?
Are, the free
are we
drinks
good
at?
Here?
Do we get a bottle of gin?
Yeah. Oh, we haven't even talked about the opening.
Yeah,
bands.
Let's do that. Let's wrap up the show. We're almost home.
Okay.
Opening bands. First, you have Bit Rot.
Out.
Awful.
Done.
Fucking awful.
What'd you think of them, Thomas?
Their song,
I think you just said
Abortion, I was like, what the fuck am I watching? The shit that was on the screen, the live birthing, and God, the fucking demented animations are going along with it, and their lyrics were fucking stupid, too. It's like they're on a like second or third grade level. Why are you being silent?
I thought they were terrible. Like,
we thought, well, we were fooled.
That was shit. We like, thought, those are lyrics that we wrote when we were just discovering sex.
You didn't like hooker mouthwash?
No, I didn't like that. You don't need a song about
hooker mouthwash?
Give me the hanger. It's time for abortion. What was the last one they closed with?
I think it was hooker mouthwash, wasn't it?
I'm gonna fuck you and throw you away.
Yes.
Yeah, that last song had like that Asian chick that was being like
it was an Asian snuff porn we were watching up there. That I was like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. That might be in the top five of worst bands I've ever seen.
Oh, come on.
They would have been a little bit more bearable had it been for those fucking disturbing ass.
It's not
going
to take the place
Dustin's
of Steadfast or Confounded, but
Dustin's
up there.
Dustin's problem was he was fooled by the name. We thought there was going to be
I wanted
8-bit material.
I wanted glitch. I wanted chip tones. I wanted fun
chip
stuff.
Tones.
With the name of Bit Rot, you expect crazy glitch beats, and it was just four dudes up there singing about rape and blood and abortions, and it was disgusting.
Yep.
Is that the new layout word? Abortion?
What are you doing, Stubbs?
Alright, here's my deal. I was jealous.
Jealous of what?
Because every member in that band had probably the easiest rock and roll job I've ever seen in my life. The drummer played snare, kick, cymbals, snare, kick, cymbals. Like, snimbles, yeah.
Snimbles.
Over and over again, the same pattern. Man, I could have played drums for those guys. The guitars. Now, those, it sounded like, did they hit any other chords besides the drop D? Did they play on the neck at all?
I don't think the guy ever
used the neck.
I don't think he ever came up and fingered any frets. I think it was all just...
They didn't hold my interest enough to even care.
And the singer reminded me of... It seemed like he was trying to be Marilyn Manson.
Okay. That's what I'm tired of.
Yeah.
Industrial music. I'm tired of everybody having three compressors, then a harmonizer, and then three more compressors because Al Jurgensen did that. And now we all got to sound like we're watered down and we all sound like this. And it's weird.
The second band, Chant, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they were called?
I think so.
The guy that had a skateboard wheel on his neck in case his...
It was a rollerblade wheel, I think.
In case a wheel popped off while he was skating, he could quickly switch one out.
They're from Austin.
I think that's them. I think they stalled on the side of 183.
I want to go see if they need
help. That's a band from Austin that I've never heard of.
Now, but
and I didn't know there was an industrial movement down in Austin.
But his vocals wasn't what you're saying, though. The guy switched it up on the vocals. He whisper-talked a lot.
It was still whisper-talked into compression, no harmonization, but he still had it there where he had that little bit of wobble.
Yeah.
Just a hair bit, but yeah.
Man, I hate to bag on bands that are local and stuff,
or
regional.
Oh.
But man, that's a waste. That band was a waste of three drummers.
Yeah. There were three pieces, and yeah, some
they all played drums.
Playing drums at
yeah,
once.
That was totally weird. It was like
there's three bands out there that need drummers, and they could easily help these guys out, but no, they are in
a
band together.
They decided to do this, and then they
I don't know.
Look at Chant. One of them's from the lead singer said he was from Denton.
Yeah, there was a lot of they were outside in the smoking area talking to a lot of people. That's why I don't really want to bag on them because I don't want them to bitch and moan.
I don't give a shit.
Overall, when you're bad, you're bad.
Yeah, overall, I just didn't like them. I thought some of their vocals were catchy, some of them, but not enough.
You don't want to talk bad about Chant, but last week you can tell Joey Kramer to fuck off.
Well, Joey Kramer
lives in Austin.
Personally insulted
one of
my friends.
Okay.
So I can tell him to fuck off. In fact, hey, Joey, fuck off.
What about the whiskey garden?
What about it?
Or at least the bouncing staff there?
What do you think of that place?
I think I've expressed myself the last three shows about that place.
You should see the text and messages I've got.
For me?
No.
Oh, from both of us?
From everybody.
Going right on?
Listen to that show, and we're like... Like, just high fives.
Yeah.
I got one the other day. I'm not going to say who any of these are from, so y'all are all protected. Don't worry. But it just said...
It wasn't for me.
Whiskey Garden, high five.
Well, we kind of call it like we see it at times.
Oh. But, yeah, those opening bands I was severely disappointed in. And it was kind of funny. I got the feeling that Sasha didn't even know who they were.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was like,
some
those
of the
aren't
stuff
not
he
us.
Said.
I don't know who that is.
So, this was my first time to see KMFDM.
What'd you think?
Man, I want to see him again, for sure. I'd like to go see him over in Germany. That'd be great.
Deutschland.
Maybe when they have a real sound guy?
That's what I was getting to.
Oh, okay.
But Sasha is a complete cool, radical dude
that was
impressed me tenfold, and I hope that the tour shapes up and they sell a bunch of tickets and a bunch of merch and it helps him out because he's not happy with the U.S. government.
What do you think, Thomas?
I think the show was incredible. I really do.
All right.
I like the lights work. The lights were really, really well done, too.
They were pretty.
Did you like the lights? They were pretty.
The lights, yeah. The light.
It was a festival of lights.
Thomas, do you like websites?
Where the hell did that come from?
Do you like movies?
Totally out of left field.
Hey, I do want to take the time right now to tell Thomas.
Do you
like
Korean banks?
Thank you for coming with us and running the camera,
yes.
The GoPros,
yeah.
And
yes,
helping us out tonight.
Thank you, Thomas. Yes, thank you for coming tonight.
We thought Dale Hansen was going to help us.
He
got really offended with us.
He was busy with Clarice Tinsley.
Hey, I'm just glad that Sasha and Jules didn't give me weird looks for sitting so close to them with the damn GoPro cameras.
No, that's why Jules put his sunglasses on.
They both had their sunglasses on. What are you
Dale Hansen about? Was busy with Clarice Tinsley's clam wallet.
Squishy mittens.
Good night.
Wait, hold on.
Really so seasonally.
Hold on. Before we go.
What?
I want to say, I'm Dustin from the Jerry Jonestown Massacre.
Hey, I'm Matt from the Jerry Jonestown Massacre.
And I'm Matt Thomas, RoboTuner.
Wait, hold on.
Okay, you got to do this shit again?
Hold on. Who invited this guy? Why are you here? We're trying to do our wrap-up of the KMFDM show we just went to.
I've been with you guys all night. What am I, fucking invisible? You think the GoPros are holding themselves up?
Let's kill him.
Can we hit him over the head?
What, Stubbs? Wait, put that belt away. What the fuck?
right. So anyway, back to Yippee Bobs.
Back to clam wallets.
Back to what is it? What kind of mittens were they? Squishy mittens?
Squish mitten.
I think those are seasonal items.
Or your ham wallet. There's a ham wallet, too.
What's the difference between a ham wallet and a clam wallet?
They smell and taste like bacon.
Does the I got a question.
One has a texture like Arby's roast beef.
Does the clam wallet have a pearl in it?
It's a little... There's like a little piece of sand in there you've got to aggravate, and it will turn into a pearl.
After a few years?
After a few years.
What about a ham wallet? Is there like a ham bone?
Mm-mm.
These are good questions.
These are good questions there.
Yeah.